We are starting a new parak, bottom of Sadek Dalet Amud Aleph. So we're going to continue talking about the Dalet Shremrim that we started talking about at the end of the previous parak and analyze them in a little more detail. In part of the Mishnah in particular is going to bring up a topic which we've touched on sporadically here and there a couple of times, but we haven't really gotten into the details of it, and here's where we're going to be doing that. This is the concept of She'ela B'Bailim. Well, we'll see it's not just a She'ela, it's all the Shremrim. If the owner himself is hired out or lent out or whatever, if he himself is doing work for the shoyl or the soicher or what have you, at the same time, then the shoyl or soicher is potter from anything that happens to the animal. The pasuk says in ba'olav imay lo yishalim. If the owner is with it, and we'll see what with it means in the Gemara, then he doesn't have to pay. Let's say, for example, he's a shoyl. Let's take the case that the Torah tells us. He's a shoyl. So he would be chayav for everything. He'd be chayav for gneva, aveda, oines, the whole nine yards. In this case, if he has the owner of the animal himself working for him
he's a shoyl of the owner who's working.
Reuven borrowed an animal from Shimon.
Yeah.
At the same time, as the Mishnah will tell us, Reuven also has Shimon working for him. Uh-huh. In that case, if later on something happens to the animal, be it gneva, aveda, oines, what have you, then he is potter from anything that happened to that animal. Because he has Shimon, the owner of the animal, working for him at the same time.
So he's a borrowing the animal, but he's paying Shimon to work.
No, it could also be that he's borrowing Shimon. It could be he's having Shimon work for him for free.
For free, okay.
We'll see. Yeah. So the Mishnah starts off.
He has a dual function. He's working for Shimon and he's borrowing from Shimon.
Yeah. No. Not he's working for Shimon. Shimon is working for him.
Shimon is working
for him and he's borrowing Shimon's thing. So a shoyl is a part of the Mishnah says, if a person borrows a cow, the shoyl ba'alei ha'ima, and he borrows the owner for work along with it, a socha ba'alei ha'ima, or he hires the owner to work together with it. And ima, by the way, as we'll see in the Gemara, doesn't necessarily mean to work with this actual animal. It just means that he's having him work for him. It could even be on some unrelated thing. Or shal abaylam esachan ba'achach shal zapara. Or if first he borrowed or hired the owner's services, and then he borrowed the cow or mesa, and then it dies, which ordinarily mesa would be an onus for which a shoyl would be chayev. In this case, potter shenema, as the pasuk says, in ba'olav imay lo yishalim. If his owner is with him, then he does not have to pay.
There's
a cost, but we'll talk in a second. Reasons for it. But if he borrowed the cow first and only then afterwards he borrowed or rented the services of the owner, umesa, and then the animal died, chayav. Shenema, as the pasuk continues, if the owner is not with him, then he most certainly has to pay. Okay, so you're asking for reasons behind it. So the Sefer HaChinuch says maybe a possible reason is like this. It's true we're going to learn the dinim that technically it doesn't matter whether the owner of the animal is working with it on the actual job or whether he's working on some unrelated job. Nevertheless, normally what would be the situation? Why would it be you're renting or borrowing the guy's services along with the cow? But pashtus, because, for example, you're renting his cow, let's say, or borrowing it or what have you, to plow your field, and you hire him along with it to do the actual plow. Therefore, the Chinuch says, the logic is, the owner of Mestama is there at the time. Therefore, if anything happens to the animal, then he's on the spot there and is able to do something about it.
That would have been my guess.
So the Chinuch says in that case.
Not necessarily.
Right, not necessarily. I mean, he says, the fact of the matter is, we see from the Mishnah that if you first borrowed the cow and then afterwards you borrowed the owner's services, you would be chayev. Okay, he says.
One second. If you borrow the cow and you borrow the services, but you use the cow for some other reason.
No, we're talking about, in other words, it has to be, in order
during
to,
the time,
it has, in order for it to be potter, it has to be that you rented or that you hired or borrowed the services of the owner before you ever borrowed or rented the cow.
Or simultaneous,
as the Mishnah says. But if you borrowed the cow on Sunday and then you borrowed the owner to do
right.
work for you on Monday, then you'd still be hired.
Even if
the cow dies on Tuesday.
The owner doesn't have to be present.
See that he doesn't have to be present. So, right, the Chinuch says it doesn't tackle work with the actual din, as we will see it developed in the Mishnah and the Gemara, but still he says that may be the basic idea behind it. And already, okay, fine, loy plug, kind of, nasata derech al shiurin. Once the Torah makes a general rule, in general, when you rent or borrow, when you hire or borrow the services of the owner together with the animal or before, for it, usually the guy will be present. It won't always be the case, but nevertheless, once we make a general rule, then yeah. The Torah gives a different logic behind it. He says you can't really have that, like this, for example, that that Reuven should both be your employee and that you're chayev to him if something happens to the animal. It's like, you know, you kind of have like two things that sort of, to a certain extent, cancel each other out. If he's your employee, then that means you, then that means he's in your, he's under contract to you. You can't really have it. It's not logical to say then that during that time you can also have that you're chayev for something that happens to his thing. So he offers that. Not the fact that he's present there, because that doesn't necessarily work, but rather the fact that you have two sort of opposing things, that he's your employee and that you'd have to owe him something.
So they sort of contradict
each other, and they
preeminence to the renter.
Yes. Okay. There's something that Rebbe explains about it in a sicha from Tafshin Memches, but let Zalman hear it also. So I'll wait till he gets back, and meanwhile we'll start with the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Midikatoni sefer va'achakach shalat apara." Given that the sefer of the Mishnah continues with the case that first you borrowed the services of the owner and then you borrowed the cow, mikal deresha katoni ima mamish. So that implies that in the resha, when it says you borrowed the cow and the owner at the same time, it means literally simultaneously. Problem is, even mamash mimash kachafah, how do you have a possibility of it being simultaneously? There's two different things that are needed in order for each thing to happen. Part of a meshicha, you become a shoyo on the cow when you do meshicha on it, or bailam ba'amira. And the owner, when does he become under contract to you? As soon as he says that I'm willing to work for you. So for example, Rashi says, if the owner were to say, my cow and I are both willing to work for you, at that point, he himself becomes under contract to the balabas, to the for his services. But the para, because it doesn't become a para sheola, it doesn't become a bar of cow until Mashiach is there, which is at a later point.
Okay, but if he says, I'm borrowing your cow and your services together, are you agreeable?
But the cow does not become a para sheola until Mashiach is there, which the pashtus is done later. That's how Rashi learns that just him saying, I will work for you, is enough to already make him be considered that he's under contract.
Without Mashiach.
We know you don't mean Mashiach on a person.
No, I
will mention, Tosfos learns differently, though. Tosfos says that it doesn't, not necessarily if he just says, I'm going to work for you. It would have to be that he actually, for example, starts going on the road to come to him, or otherwise making some kind of, otherwise doing something to get himself ready for the work. Be that as it may, anyway, that still doesn't happen at the same time as Mashiach. The Pashtos, for example, he leaves his house together with his cow. He walks over. The moment he leaves his house, or even the moment he starts putting on his work clothes or whatever, maybe, he's already considered that he's hired himself out to the other guy. The cow does not become a part of Sha'ula until Mashiach, which is when he reaches the other guy's house. So it's not literally at the same time. Okay, the Gemara says, Yiboyseim, I can answer one possibility, how they can be simultaneously. Suppose at the time, both the owner and, or let's say at least just the cow, whatever, is standing in the chaser of the shoyl. Then there's no Mashiach lacking. As soon as the Balabas says, I and my cow will work for you, well, he is Bamira, and the cow is also Bamira, because no Mashiach is needed. It's in his chaser. Kinyan chaser.
Of
the shoyl, of the one who's borrowing.
Therefore,
kinyan chaser, yes. Or another possibility, to Amalei, that you can have a case where the shoyo, where the borrower says to the owner of the cow, at gupach lo tishar lad mashach ad shach mashichas paroscha. I don't want you to be considered that I'm borrowing your services until the moment of Mashiach. At that point, when I do Mashiach, simultaneously, then that's when you're considered to be my employee. So that's how you could have that they happen together. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to digress a little bit. Now that we dealt with the concept of the Dalet Shomrim at the end of the previous parak. Now that our Mishnah told us another key detail about the Shomrim, which is learned from those psukim, the concept of Ba'al Avimai, now we're going to go start analyzing those psukim in detail and figure out how we know the different dinim, what each Shomer is chayev and pater for, from how we see it from the psukim. But before we're going to analyze
a general discussion
of the shomerim, and when we said in the previous parak, for example, that a shomer chinam nishmal akoyel shoyel mishalom es akoyel shoycher and shomer sacher, etc. Now we're going to see how we derive that from the psukim. That's going to take up till the middle of tzadik hayom adal. So real quick, by the way, just to finish off with the business of shoyel b'baylim, of she'el b'baylim that we said in the Mishnah's Potter, the Rebbe explains in a sicha from Tafshin Memches as follows. We're talking about the various reasons behind it. So the Rebbe says like this. We talked yesterday or the day before about the concept that the Dalet Shomrim and Avoda represent different people in their different levels of their relationship to Hashem. The Shomer Chinam who does purely Shaloi Amanas Pekal Pras, the highest level. The Shoyl, who's the other way around, who says that basically I'm in the world to enjoy it, and I don't think I really need to do any Avoda at all, or at most all I need to do is a kind of Avoda like I learned from my father, that I don't need to develop my own personal relationship with Hashem, and the Shemachin and the Shemasachar and the Soicher, who are somewhere in between, who want to receive a reward from Hashem. Is it that the Avoda is the primary thing, like the Shemasachar? Is it that the enjoyment of the world is the primary thing, like the Soicher? Anyway, the point is then, even a Shoyl, even the lowest level person, if he lives all the time with the realization that Ba'olav Imar, that Hashem is with me, that I'm being watched by Hashem, then even though currently he's a Shoyl, nevertheless, if something happens, even if he, as we'll see in the Gemara later, even if he's a Pesheya, even if he ends up being careless, sure, he has to do Tshuva, of course, no question about it. Just saying I have a relationship with Hashem is not enough to prevent, to save you from having to do Tshuva. But it suspends the punishment, at least. Unlike a regular Shoyl who is going to have to pay up for whatever happens, whether it was Pshia, whether it was Mesa, whether it was Mesa Kadavka or whatever. Because the fact that he feels, the fact that he lives all the time with that realization that Hashem is watching him and Hashem is with him, that'll at least make it that if something does go wrong, whether by his fault, whether not his fault, whatever the case may be, that Hashem doesn't have to give it to him right then and there. He can have patience and wait for the guy to do and wait for the guy to have that realization, Hashem is watching me, how could I have done this? I better do tshuva. Rather than having to give
it. On the guy's side, but if Hashem wants to punish him now, regardless.
But Hashem, but that's the thing, because he lives with that realization, therefore Hashem doesn't need to, and therefore Hashem can do like he would prefer to, which is to have rachmanis on him and wait till he does tshuva. Now, provided though, now the Mishnah told us that's only provided if Ba'olav were Imay from the beginning. As opposed to, for example, if you have, let's say, this person did the Aveira, and only then he starts all of a sudden getting religion because he's afraid, you know, then you don't know, then it doesn't work. It may work. I mean, Hashem knows the truth, but you can't assume that because you don't know necessarily. Is he doing it sincerely or is he doing it out of fear of punishment? So, yeah, so that's the idea that I've explained. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, Tanan Hossam. So now, we learn in the Mishnah, in the previous parak, Arba Shomrim Hem, there were four Shomrim, Shomachinam Ba'ashoyl, Noisasacha Ba'asoycher, Shomachinam Nishba'al Akor, we said a Shomachinam swears for anything that happens, whether Gneva, Aveda, Oinus, whatever, he swears and then he's Potter, Ba'ashoyl Mashalam Asakor, Ba'ashoyl has to pay in all cases, except Mesa Machmas Malacha, as we shall see, Noisasacha Ba'asoycher, Nishboyin Al Shavurah, Ba'al Shavurah, Ba'al Mesa, a Shomachacha or a Soycher have to swear and then they're Potter, if the animal was broken or taken captive or died. Or Mashamim, it's Aveda, Veseg Neva, but they have to pay for Aveda where the animal was lost. Let's say you took it out to the meadow to graze and it wandered away. Or other things like that, as we learned at the end of the previous parak, cases where, for example, it slipped into the water or whatever, cases where it wasn't total carelessness, but you didn't take extra care. Valagneva or for theft. Menahani Mili. Now, how do we know all this? The Tanan Rabbanan. We learn it a Braisa like this. Now, in order to understand this, we have to review real quick how the psukim go in Parshas Mishpatim. The pasuk starts off by saying like this: Ki yitin isha ra'eu kesef ha-kelim l'shmer. A person gives to somebody else money or kelim to watch. V'gunav mebeis ha'ish, and it's stolen from the person's house. Im yimotze ha-ganav yishalim shnayim. If the ganav is found, he pays double. Im lo yimotze ha-ganav. If the ganav is not found, v'nikra balabayis ha-lakim. Then they go to Beis Din. He has to swear im la-shalach yadav im lechas ra'ehu. I'll call drapesha, etc., etc. Adar alakim yavaj vashnam, asher yashiyu alakim, the one who the dayanim find guilty, yishalam shnayim l'ra'ehu. As we will see in our discussion over here, we learned this also in Bava Kamma, besides the surface meaning of the psukim, it means something else also. If the shemachinim is claiming that it was stolen, and it turns out that that's false, he himself stole it, then after he's sworn and based in that it was stolen, and it turns out that they were lost or what have you, and it turns out that was false, he's the one who's going to have to pay kafir.
Now, can it only be done by aiding, right?
Well, you need aiding,
but
yeah.
Only can be done.
But it can only happen also after he swore falsely.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it happened before he swore falsely, he wouldn't pay capel. He'd have to pay keter, but he wouldn't pay capel. Okay. Now the Torah does not spell out there, by the way, that it says the word shemachinam. It just says ki yitin ishara eir kesef akela. A person gives to somebody else money or okelim to watch. Okay. Next part continues. that Kiyitin Ishara Eu Hamur Ishara Selishbar, a person gives to somebody else a donkey or an ox or a sheep to watch, Umeis or Nishbar Nishba, it dies or it's broken or it's taken captive, Ein Roya, and nobody saw it, Shavuot Hashem Tiyah Ben Shneim, and there needs to be a Shavua between them, and the Shalach Yadav Melech Yisrael, Velokach Bala Velo Yishalem, the owner takes that Shavua, and the Shomer does not have to pay, V'im Gonev Yigonev Me'imbo, but if it's stolen from him, Yishalem Lebalav, etc. Again, it doesn't spell out that this is the Shema Sakhar. But this is the dinim that it says. Then it's
obviously because it's different from the first
one. Well, but we have to figure, what is it? You know, for example, the Rashbam on the Pesukim argues over there. I mean, on a very basic chat level, you could say the first one is talking about you give him money or kalim. The second one is talking about you give him an animal. Maybe he has a higher level of liability if it's an animal. But we're going to see in our Gemara that's not
interesting. Yeah. You might be able to say that.
You might be able to say that. On the other hand, the Ramban points out on those Pesukim that we're going to see in the Gemara how we're going to see in our Gemara how we learn it out logically that one means the first one means a Shem Chinam, the second one means a Shem Sachar. The Ramban says you can also think of it this way. It's more normal that if you're giving somebody something such as money or kalim to watch, you wouldn't. He could do it for free. Look, it's not too much of a bother. He takes the money or kalim or whatever. He buries them in the ground. He puts them in the safe or whatever, and he doesn't have to do anything with it any further. As opposed to an animal where there's a tircha involved, feeding it and watering it and cleaning up after it, et cetera, like more normally you would expect that you'd have to pay somebody for it. Yeah.
Like a dog kennel.
Yeah.
Whatever I feed up,
whatever kind of, whatever. Okay, and then the pasuk continues, but then the pasuk continues with the third one, somebody borrows from somebody else, so here's the only one, that's the only one the Torah specifically said, well, the only one so far where the Torah specifically says what kind he is, that he's a shoyl. The first two, it didn't spell out again. So, the Tanna Rabbanan, this is more in Parshas Mishpatim. The Tanna Rabbanan, Parshat Rishonah Nemar B'Shem Achinam, the first section that we just discussed is talking about the Shem Achinam, Shniyah B'Shem Asachar, the second one is talking about the Shem Asachar, Shlishis B'Shoyl, and the third one is talking about a shoyl. So let's figure it out. I can understand. We know the third one is talking about a shoyl. Sure, before the pasuk explicitly said, if he borrows from somebody else, and the animal is broken or died, but all of any if the owner is not with him, shalom shalom. But how do you know that the first section is talking about a shem achinam and the second one is talking about a shem asachar? Why don't we argue it to be the other way around? And the answer is, it's more logical to say the second one is talking about a Shem HaSachar, Shekein Chayev B'Gnev of Aveda. Because
we
see
the second instead of saying it's more logical, but the first one is Shem HaChinam.
Because the first one, it doesn't spell out. All it says is that, all it talks about over there is the case, for example, that if it was stolen, and it turns out that he was lying, then he's the one who has to pay the kafel. We don't know, other than that, that he would necessarily be potter from Gneva. But the second one, it clearly says, that if it's stolen, he has to pay.
So the first from the second.
So that by elimination, if the second one is the Shem HaSachar, the first one has to be the Shem HaChinam, yeah. So Shekein Chiyah B'Gneva V'Aveda. The second one, it tells us he's chayav for Gneva to pay, chayav for Aveda. More logically, you have more Hana, and the Shem HaSachar, you're getting paid. It's logical, you have more liability. The Gemara says, Adarabba, you're showing him a Shem HaSachar. Adarabba, you could argue that the first one maybe is talking about the Shem HaSachar. Shekein Meshalem Tashlum Ekev for the Tain Tain Es Ganav, because the first parasha does have a chumrah over the second one. Namely, this case, if he claims that it was stolen, again, in the second parasha, if he claims that it was stolen, that's it, he has to pay up. But that's it, all he's paying is Keren. In the first parasha, in the first section, if he claims that it was stolen, and he swears to that effect in Beis Din, and it turns out that he was lying, there's Edim that gets that, then he pays Kefil, as opposed to the other case where he only pays Keren. So you have a Chumra then. So then maybe that's the Shem HaSachar then. Maybe the Shem HaSachar is the one who may end up having to pay Kefil in the case of Geneva.
First one and second one again.
First one says that if he claims that it was stolen, and he swears to that effect, and it turns out that he was lying, Yishalom Shnayim L'Re'ehu, he's the one who has to pay double. That's the first section.
Okay.
The second one says, if you're going to meet me, Yishalom L'Balov. If it gets stolen, he has to pay. Okay. Just kidding. So I don't know, maybe
if
the first
lying.
One. No, it doesn't even say if he's lying or not.
That's
the point. So that's what the Gemara is going to answer. Maybe we could argue the first one has a greater chumrah that he ends up having to pay kefil if he swore falsely, etc. Whereas in the second case he would never end up paying kefil. He always just pays keren if he says that it was stolen.
Falsely
doesn't matter. That's the point. No, the answer, no, because you become chayav to pay right away. And that's the answer. Afilo hachi, karen b'lo shvur, adif from the kfeil b'shvur. Nevertheless, to be chayav to pay the karen right away without even having to swear is a more serious thing than having to pay kefil based on a shvur. Because, like this,
kefil is more than...
No, because, of course, but on the other hand, even if he didn't swear falsely, he'd still be chayiv in the Karen, as opposed to the first case, as opposed to what we're saying now is the Shevach Hinnom, in order for him to be chayiv in that kefil, he has to swear falsely, and then Edom have to come and swear. Yes, yes. So if he never swore in the first place, if he never swore on it in the first place, there wouldn't be a kefil. As opposed to in the second parasha, he's always going to be chayiv the Karen regardless, therefore, falsely or not, even if it's true. Therefore, that's a more serious thing, that he always has to pay Karen versus the possibility that he might have to pay kefil if he swears falsely and aid him come, etc. Right? And mind you, I mean, later...
That's the basic of the law.
That's the basic, yeah. Although, Rishonim asked, I mean, the fact of the matter is, we're going to have later on in the discussion, we're going to have to prove that very point based on the analysis of the Pesukim. Right now, we haven't really...
Both
that the Shem HaSachar never has to pay kefil is something we're going to have to establish later on. So we're sort of begging the question by bringing it in over here.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, we have other proofs as well, as we're going to continue.
Sure, or it's going to be...
Yeah, we're going to see. Later on. No, it is the final halacha, but we haven't proved it yet. Keda, and in
so
fact...
You have to pay twice, no matter what.
No, that Hashem HaSachar never has to pay twice.
No,
that Hashem HaChinam has to pay twice if he swears falsely at
that.
We know that from the Pesukim. The fact that the same thing doesn't apply to Hashem HaSachar, that we still have to figure out. Okay. Continues the Gemara Teda. As a matter of fact, you can prove that this must be the case. The Hashoyol Kolan Hashaloi, because think of a Shoyol has all the Hana, because he's borrowing the thing for free. He doesn't have to pay for it, and he gets it, and he gets to use it. So he has all the Hana. If Einim Shalom Ela Keren, and we see a Shoyol never has to pay more than Keren. There's never a case where a Shoyol has to swear. There's never a case except Meis Machas Malacha, which we'll deal with later, and Meis Machas Malacha is a very uncommon situation. Other than that, he never has to swear, because anything else he's hired for.
But he's not hired for twice.
That's the point. Ve'enim Hashalom Al-Karen. That's the point. In other words, we're saying like this. Hashem HaSachar has more Hanar than Hashem HaChinah. A Shoyol has more Hanar than Hashem HaSachar. If you see that even the Shoyol, who has the greatest Hanar of all, never has to pay kefil, then it's logical to say that Hashem HaSachar relative to Hashem HaChinam, it's more logical to say, if you have the choice, which one of them is going to have to be the one paying kefil, more logically, it's Hashem HaSachar. If you're going to say like this, even a Shoyol, who Kol Amel Shaloi, never pays more than Keren, how much more so Hashem HaSachar, who has less Hana than a Shoyol, because after all, he can't use the thing, he's getting paid for watching it, sure, but he can't use it. And then it's more logical to say that even he too only has to pay Karen. Because you see, as you're going up in the Kol Anah Shaloi scale, you're still not paying more than Karen. A Shoyol never pays more than Karen. Therefore, it's more logical to say that a Shoyol HaSachar also is never going to have to pay more than Karen. Okay. The question is about So now, as a side thing, we have to ask about Shoyol Kol Anah Shaloi. What do you mean you're using the expression a Shoyol Kol Anah Shaloi? He has all the Anah. Well, Boya Mizani. Doesn't the animal need food while he's borrowing it? The answer is the kind of ba'agam. Fine, but you could say, let's say, that suppose he has a meadow right near his field, right near his house. So he borrows the animal to work. Every time he wants to feed the animal, instead of having to bring it hay or whatever on his own, he just sends it out to the meadow and it grazes over there.
That's the meadow, right?
Well, yes. So the point is that question is, well, boy, natura. Fine, but doesn't he have to pay for guarding the animal? He has to pay for somebody to watch the animal at night or whatever. The answer is You could have a case, again, given that the Torah is not specified, and the Torah just mentions a shoyol generically, what if you have a shoyol, for example, who lives in a town where there is a town watchman? So therefore, again, he really does have kol anah shaloi. He doesn't have any expenses for this animal. Or another possibility, fine, you could say he still has a greater Hanar than Hashem HaSachar because he can use it. Or yet another possibility, you could say, when do we say that a Shoyol is Kol Anah Shaloi if he's borrowing Kalim? He doesn't have to feed them. He doesn't have to do anything. All he has to do, again, is he borrows them, and then afterwards he keeps them in his house, and that's that. There's no expenses that he has for borrowing them. And we still see that he's Chayav, and we still see that even he never pays more than Karen. Therefore, that's the logic to say, even though kolanar shaloi, he only pays keren, how much more so? Rosh HaVesacha, we're not kolanar shaloi, should not have to pay more than keren. All right, so that takes care of that. Now, we say, noisisacha v'asecha neshvorin ala shvura v'ala shvurya v'ala
mitzah. It's a bit of an unfair system, because the more honor you have, really, the less obligations you have.
No, but the logic behind it is, again, counter below shvur, a different fail of a shvur. Again, the Shemas Chinam, how does he get himself into a situation where he has to pay careful? He swore falsely, and then Adam came against him.
Yeah,
that's his
right.
problem. That's his fault. Because he could have pastored himself. If it had truthfully been stolen, he would have been pastored based on his shvur.
Right.
As opposed to Rosh HaMachina, Rosh Hashoil, who would not be pastored, they would still have to pay.
But not twice, but fine.
That's
what the injustice is.
Well, that's not really an injustice, because they're just obligated to pay, and that's that. There's no shvur for them to swear in the first place.
That's a big question.
But then why should they have to swear a shvur?
If they testified falsely and they didn't come.
What are they testifying falsely against?
If they say
that the animal is stolen, then we're not going to say, okay, we're not going to say, okay, swear to that. We're just going to say, pay up. You're a shermasocha. You have to pay for it.
But that's what I'm saying. Pay for the animal, not for the lie.
Because it doesn't matter whether he lied or not. Either way, he's paying. There's no. You don't ask him to make a shavua. A shavua is only when he's going to be potter.
Okay, here's what it is.
Then we continue. No, it's a socher v'asocher neshvorin ala shvura v'ala shvurya v'ala meisa. A shermasocher or socher, they swear if the animal was broken or like broke a leg or whatever, or taken captive or died, or mashaman it's aveda v'etek neva and have to pay if the animal was lost or stolen. So now, how do we know that? Bishlem gneva. I can understand we know the chayav for gneva.
You mentioned just now.
Yeah, well, that's what we have to figure out. Bishlem gneva. We know the chayav for gneva. Just even gonna be gonna be in the shalom bolt, because the pasuk clearly says in the second section, which we've established now. The second section is talking about shem asachar, and it clearly says if the animal is stolen from him, he should pay the owner. Ela aveda manola. And how do we know that the shem asachar is also chayav for aveda? That is the tanya, as we learn in a brisa. Now the Torah uses a double expression. If stolen, it is stolen. Which means, you would only know from that if the animal was stolen. How do we know the same thing is true if the animal was lost? That's why it uses the double expression, which means regardless.
What do you mean?
Meaning, in other words, we're learning something from each of the expressions. Gonev teaches us stealing. Yigonev teaches us something similar to stealing, which is aveda.
How can you deduce aveda from the word stealing?
Whenever there's an extra word.
When we have an extra word. No, but it means that the Gemara is going to talk about in the next line, because Gneva is similar. Gneva and Aveda have a certain similarity between them. In the sense, now, both of them, neither of them is an oinus, and it's true. Gneva, as the Gemara is going to say, is closer to oinus. Aveda, in a certain sense, is closer to Pshia, but they're both sort of in between. They're not shvuro, shvuyo, meisa, which is something completely onus, completely something unavoidable at all. They're not pshia, which is something that you were careless. They're somewhere in between. If the Torah, therefore, is machayev you for one, it's logical to say that if we have an extra word, that's machayev you for something else which has a certain similarity. So the question is then, hanichal mandam loyamina dibur Torah kolosh me'adam. That works according to the opinion.
Right.
That we say that we don't say Dibra Torah Kolosh Me'adam when there's a double expression. For those we say, we learned back in Elam Metzias, earlier in our Masechta, that we had a machlokus over there, all these double expressions that the Torah says, Hoshev Teshivim, Hokim Tokim. Is the extra word teaching us something, or is it just that's the style? That's the style of Lashon Kodesh, and that's the style as people speak.
Those who say that you don't,
fine, they have an extra word to learn from. But according to the opinion that we said over there, Dibra Torah Kolosh Me'adam, Ma'isal Neimer, then what do you say? Amri B'ma'arava. So they answered, Eretz Yisrael, in that case, Kavachomer. In that case, we can learn it not from the extra word in the Pasuk, but rather from a Kavachomer. Umag Neva Shekrova La'ones Mishalim, Madach the Torah is Mechayavim for Gneva, which is more similar to an Ones, because Gneva, after all, is something that, you know, somebody went and stole it when you weren't around or whatever. You know, you locked up the animal and somebody went in and somebody tunneled in and stole it. It's similar to an oinus, and yet it's not a total oinus.
It's more
similar to oinus in the sense, right? It's something you could have prevented with extra shmira. You'd put up a better door, for example, sure. But on the other hand, it's much further away from Shia, right? Aveda shekrova l'pshia. Well, then Aveda, which is even closer to Pshia, Because like you left the animal to graze in the meadow and it wandered off. Like Koshigan, how much more so you should be chayav for Aveda. So therefore you can learn it by Kavah Chomer.
In other words, if you learn it from further away from Shia, certainly it applies.
How much more so to Aveda, which is close to Shia. The Idach, whereas the other opinion who wants to learn it from the word Yuganev or Yuganev, he would answer, fine, Milsa to Asya, but Kabachimer, Tarach because of Lakra. Sometimes you find something which, even though we could have learned it from the Kabachimer, the Pasuk still takes the trouble to record it for us. So here you can have the Idach, the other opinion, the opinion that says that we don't say Dibra Torah Kolosh Meyat, that all these double expressions have significance. He would answer, yes, it's true, you could have learned it, I agree with you, Kabachimer. However, sometimes the Torah will take the trouble to use an extra word to teach us a din that we could have learned from a Kabachimer anyway.
You can't catch him either way.
The B'nai Yisavkar has an interesting vert on that, actually, which relates to Hanukkah. He says, Taka, why? Taka, what's the logic? If you can learn it with Kabachimer, why, Taka, should the Torah bother to record it? He says like this, a Kabachimer is the only one of the Yud Gil Midas, Shatern and Yeshes Behem, which can be done purely based on human logic. We see at the end of this past week's parasha, the brothers use a Kavah Chomer to Yosef. It's the only one. All the other ones, you need a Kabbalah from your Rebbe. They say that the Madach, we return the money that you put in our sacks, so we brought it all the way back from Eretz Yisrael. How much more so we wouldn't steal your master's goblet. A Kavah Chomer is something
it's a bad Kavah Chomer.
No, well, he said, right.
They were risking.
No, because they didn't.
They stole from a king.
Oh, come on. The point is, they certainly wouldn't steal the cup. Right. Anyway, the point is, a Kavah Chomer anybody can make. Therefore, a Kavah Chomer is something based on human logic. Some places the Torah wants to point out to us, even something that you could understand based on your own logic, it's not part of the Torah based on your own logic, it's still Chochmah Seir Ritzon HaShem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's still the Eivishter's Chochmah, and therefore he will record it in his Torah as something which just comes milamayla. Very much related to Hanukkah, which the whole idea behind Hanukkah was that the Greeks wanted to make that the ultimate of Torah
right.
is to learn Torah based on human logic.
Does that
yeah.
mean that? Who said that?
When there's a Kavah Chomer,
the B'nai Yisavkar.
There'll be a way to learn it from the Torah.
Not always, but at least in some cases, the Torah will do that in order to demonstrate to us that always, even when we have a human-derived Kavah Chomer, it's still part of the Eishes Chomer.
Everything else, including Zereshava, Binyanov,
everything else,
Kabbalah.
You need a Kabbalah, yeah.
Everything is Kabbalah. And sometimes we argue about whether that's the right Kabbalah. Or
yeah, we could, yeah, but
whether we know how
but
many.
For example, Onward. Next, we said in the Mishnah that a shoyl has to pay for anything. So let's figure out. So we can understand he has to pay if the animal is broken or dies. Just give, because the pasuk says, if a person borrows from somebody else and it's broken or dies, then he has to pay. Where do we know that if the animal gets taken captive from a shoyl's possession, that he should have to pay for that? So you might argue, okay, we'll learn that by mamatinu from shvuro mesa. Problem is, a mamatinu can very easily be broken up with a pircha if you find something that with a greater chumra.
Difference between a mamatinu and a kavah chomer.
A kavah chomer is you're doing from the more lenient to the more severe. Here it's not necessarily more lenient and more severe, but nevertheless, if you can find a unique feature that the one that you're trying to learn to has, that the ones you're learning from do not, then that shlugs up the mamatinu. Yeah. So, mal shvuro mesa shken oinsa desalak adaitu. Consider shvuro mesa, those are reasonably expected oinsim. You can say, for example, it's common enough that an animal could break a leg, it's common enough that an animal could die. He could have, when he borrowed the animal, said, as we learned at the end of the previous paragraph, you can make such tnoyim. You can say, I'm only borrowing it on condition that if it breaks a leg or if it dies, I'm not chayev. The fact that he didn't, Rashi says, might mean reason to say that he's chayev. Toma v'shvuya, shekein oinsa, delit zolo kadaitu. How can you compare that with shvuya, which is something completely out of left field? He wouldn't have even have had the thought to think, if armed bandits or what have you come and steal it, and come and that's which is shvuya, then I want to be partial. Now, that's not even something. It's not even something people usually think of as a day-to-day thing.
And where you live.
Okay, come on.
If you live in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Okay. No, so we can't learn it by a mamatzi. No, we have to say it like this. We're going to learn it rather using basically a hekish. By both the shoyl and the shemesachar, both of them it mentions the concept that the animal is broken or if it dies. Therefore, Malahal and Shavuya Im, right? Just like by the Shem Issachar, there's a third one that's included in that group, Shavuya, because the Pasuk mentions they are all three. Umeis, Oinishvar, Oinishva. So it mentions all three of them. Afkan Shavuya Im, the same thing by the Shoyo, we make a hekesh between them to say when you have Shavura Umesa, then automatically Shavuya goes together with it as well.
Okay, because now the hekesh goes from the one Pasuk.
That in one, we don't know if it's second on the side of the pity, but because by the in one pasuk you have Shavuya Umesa juxtaposed
on the show
to, by the Shana Sachar. So therefore, and it says all three Umesa or Nishbar or Nishba. So it says all three of them. It dies, it's broken, or
so
it's taken captive.
Therefore,
we say by the Shoyal, even though it only mentions two of them, it means the third one as well. The third
so
member of that.
Take another pasuk to make the hekesh,
yes.
And then we come back to our pasuk. So it's like a special hekesh.
Yeah, it's not obvious.
It's not obvious, but nevertheless.
It's not obvious at all. I mean, if the Torah says three in one,
we have a different way of asking. Ikal mifrach, we can shlug up. So it's not really a hekesh because ain't meshivim al hekesh. It's kind of more also binyanav, in which case ikal mifrach, we can shlug it up. Mal Hashem Asachar shekein l'ptur. How can you compare by Hashem Asachar when the Torah lists all those three things together? It's saying that those are three kinds of oynes for which the Hashem Asachar is potter. How can you compare it and say that we can derive from that to a shoyo where you're trying to say that all three of them are chayev? Maybe say he's only chayev for the two it lists in the pasuk, but not the third.
Because in one case,
in the other case, chayev.
So it's hard to apply one to the other.
Ella could have nothing. No, we have to answer.
So we shlug that up. Yeah,
we have to answer. Okay. We have to answer rather like Rav Nosson said.
I like the time.
You're Rav Nosson. Oi, Luravet Shavuya. So Rav Nosson says you don't need that. Since the pasuk says by the shoyl the nishbar oy meis, the oy teaches us a third thing. It teaches us the shavuya. Because otherwise, the pasuk could have said v'nishbar umeis. It could have said. Problem with that is hi oy mevoy lo lechalik. What?
V'nishbar
oy meis. It says broken or dies. So he's saying the oy, the extra word oy, because it says v'nishbar umeis. The extra word oy comes to teach us. It could have said nishbar umeis.
It could have been just the vav or
and we'll see in a second, as we're going to discuss now, that the word the vav in the Torah can mean and or it can mean or.
Yeah. And here
so
it's
like
or.
Well, that's what we have to figure out. Rav Nosson is saying the word oy comes to include the case of a shvuya. The problem with that is hi oy meboy le lechalek. Don't you need that word oy there in order to divide them, in order to say it's one or the other? The fact that it can mean ad mitbaro meisal and chayev, because otherwise you might have thought you're not chayev unless the animal is broken and died.
Right.
Which, okay, the Ritva says doesn't literally mean you would think it has to be broken and dies, but at least you would think it means that it has to eventually die of its injuries. Not just, let's say, that it just died, not just that it keeled over and died.
But at least one to the other.
Yeah, in other words, not just if it keeled over without having previously been injured. Yeah.
Right. Causality, you need.
Come on, Shmuel, and therefore you need the Ori to tell us that.
Right.
Well, then the question becomes, Hanicha l'Rab Yonasan el l'Rab Yoshi Yamaik Omeimer. Now, this that you're saying that the oy is needed l'chalik, that works out. This that you're saying you don't need the oy l'chalik, that you have it available as an extra word to teach you about the case of Shavuya, that works out according to Rabbi Yonasan, but how does it work out according to Rabbi Yoshia? What do we say according to Rabbi Yoshia? Where do Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia say this? The Tanya, as we learn in a brighter like this. The Pasuk says, Isha Shei Kalat Ove Ve'es Ivan. The person says, if a person curses his mother, his father, his mother, and we have to figure out what the V means, so based on the simple wording of the, and then it says he's chayv nisa, chayv skila. So emi ala oviv v'imoy, based on the actual wording of the pasuk, you'd only know he's chayv skila if he curses both of them. Oviv b'loy imoy, imoy b'loy oviv b'nayin. How do we know he's chayv nisa even if he only curses one of them? Chana b'loyma. Therefore the pasuk continues oviv v'imoy kilel. Therefore the pasuk continues and says his father and his mother he cursed, which implies oviv kilel imoy kilel. Which implies, in other words, that it means whether he cursed only his father or only his mother. Because if you look at the two halves of the pasuk, it starts off by saying kalo es aviv, so aviv is closer to the word klala. At the end it says aviv imoy kilo, it says imoy and then it says the word kilo. So that comes to teach us, those extra words come to teach us that it means each one separately he would be chayav.
So we should apply it here and we
know. Wait. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia, that's what Rabbi Yoshia says.
Right.
Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Rabbi Yonasan says, no, that's not how you figure it out. The truth is, it's true. The words that Sheikhala as Ave ve'es imoy could conceivably mean both of them. Umashma together, meaning that only if you curse both your father and your mother, right? Umashma echa b'fnei atzma. They could equally well mean, but they could equally well mean each one individually. Adchi yifrit b'cha kotev yachtav. Unless the pasuk specifically mentions the word yachtav, which means together. Which means, in other words, if the according to Rabbi Yonason, if the Torah had said Asher Yikalos Avavet Ima Yachtov, then it would mean you only chayef for cursing both of them. By saying Asher Yikalos Avavet Es Ima, the vav all by itself means or. The vav
separate.
Yeah. And therefore, so Rashi says he explains that the words Avav V'Ima Kilo, he uses for a different Rashi. Rabbi Yonason would say that we need those words Avav V'Ima Kilo to teach us that even if he cursed them after they died, he's still chayef mitzvah.
Okay, good.
Otherwise,
if it meant both, it would be say yachtav. So we use.
So therefore, the vav by itself means or. Means or. Now, returning to over here, then.
When did Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yonathan live?
They were both among the later Tanoim. They were, I think, in the generation of Rebbe or the generation before him.
The one who did all the brises was Rabbi Ushia.
That's Rabbi Ushia. That's
Ushia. That's a different one. Okay.
So
applying it here.
So since, in other words, according to Rabbi Yonason, just having a vav in a pasuk by itself is the equivalent to putting the word or. Because only in the Torah says yachtav doesn't mean both of them together. Therefore, in our pasuk, it could have said v'nishbar umeis, and we would understand that it means one or the other, yachayev.
Right.
And instead it says oi, oi meis. Because the pasuk says oi, because you have an aleph and a vav there. It's a separate word, oi, or.
Right.
Therefore, we can use Rav Nathan's Drasha that says that the word oi comes to include the case of Shavuya, the case where the animal was taken captive by bandits or whatever. But according to Rav Yoshia, that a vav by itself means and you need some other limud in the pasuk such as Avav Imekilo to teach us that it means or, then according to him, the Torah has to say oi. It has to say v'nishbar oi meis, otherwise you would think that it means otherwise you would
say both would be to add a
yachtav. Yeah. So in other words, according to him, a vav means together. Means together, yeah. So that's the question. According to Rabbi Yoshia, how do we know that Shoyal is Chayav on Shoya? The answer is, after the Temer of Yoshia, he could even answer that this explanation of Rav Nathan saying that we darshan it from the word oi could even work according to Rabbi Yoshia. Because l'chalek ha'chalei tzarech, because over here, you don't really need to have the word oi to distinguish that it's either if it died or if it got broken. My timer, because why not? Svaru, because it's a logical thing. Famous expression, mali kotla kula, mali kotla pauga. What's the difference whether you kill the entire animal or part of it? If the animal is broken, it breaks a leg or whatever, part of it is effectively dead. Or semi-dead or whatever. The point, I mean, you may even have, it broke a leg in such a way that it'll never heal again.
No, the leg is broken, but on the animal.
But, for example, the leg itself may be dead. As a matter of fact, for example, there are cases in halacha, when we get to Masechta Chulin, we'll talk about, for example, you can have a case where an animal breaks its leg, and the leg is actually considered Eivim and Achai.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to. Even if you shech the animal afterwards, the leg is also. You have to cut it off. But you have to cut it off before you eat. You have to cut it off as well as a little bit of the unbroken part of the leg.
Trefa
would be when it's
above the second.
Above the second. Above the
second. They have three joints.
Yeah. So it's like getting involved, whatever, we'll get to that. But even if you have a case where it's broken in a place, like close to the hoofs or whatever, where it's not going to be chafed, nevertheless, that part,
kind of
the point is like this. If that part is not going to be able to heal again, if that part, medically speaking, is not going to be able to heal, then it's not considered attached to the animal anymore. Yeah. The rest of the animal is mutter once you shecht it, because not terefa. But that part is considered as if it was detached from the animal, as if it was pulled off while the animal was alive, because effectively that's what it was. And even after the animal is shechted, it doesn't become mutter. So we see that, therefore, it's considered like a separate thing. So therefore, the logic is of a hero. So the same thing. What's the difference?
If it's considered before it's shechted as dead, because it's like been alive. Therefore, it seems to say that the animal is alive.
The animal was alive. The piece is dead.
The piece is dead.
No, that's what we're saying. Mali kotla kula, mali kotla pauga. If the animal breaks a leg, that leg is effectively dead. It's like a piece of meat that was pulled off the animal. Look, if you take a live animal and you scoop out a chunk of meat of it, that piece of meat is obviously dead, but it's Avim and Achai, right? Because the animal was alive when you took it out. Same idea. Yeah. What?
Don't tempt us.
Yeah, okay. Come on, Nick. So therefore, so therefore, just by that logic, you know automatically that Nishbar Oy Meis have to mean two separate things. It can't mean you need both of them, because there was no reason to think you'd need both of them. Therefore, even Rabbi Yoshia would agree over here that the Vav, all by itself, has to mean or. if instead of a vav, it has a separate word, oi, aleph vav, then we can use it for the nafin zerasha that it teaches us the case of shibuya.
Nice.
Next case, gneva v'aveda v'shoyel menolo. How do we know?
So from this, we
so now that's how we know now that a shoyel is chayev for shibuya.
Sure.
Now let's go back a step. We said a shoyel is chayev not only for oin sin, like the ones we just listed, shvura, shvuya, or mesa. He's also chayev for gneva v'aveda. That's gneva v'aveda v'shoyel menolo. How do we know that a shoyel is chayev if the animal was lost or stolen? So you could argue, okay, we'll learn it from shvura or mesa. We'll learn it from the case of oinus. The problem is, because you would say, if even in the case of oinus, he's chayev, how much more so it would be like sort of like a kalachim or like a mamatin or something, yeah, like we did before. You could argue, the problem is, on the other hand, a shvura or a mesa, even though it's true, there's an oinus, and you would think an oinus, there's more reason to pastor him, and therefore, if you're saying he's chayev on those, how much more so he should be chayev on ganev v'aveda. The problem is, you could look at it the other way around. Shvura or mesa, it's impossible to get it back. The animal is broken. It broke its leg. It's not going to heal anymore. The animal is dead. You're not going to bring it back alive again. So it's impossible to,
right,
to go to the trouble of trying to get it back. How could you prove from that to Gneva Vaveda? Let the shoyl argue. It's true. The animal was lost or the animal was stolen. Fine. Go. It's still alive. Go look for it. Don't make me pay for it. You go look around. Try to find it. It's not my problem. Okay, so Tosis points out, what about Shibuya? Shibuya, the animal, is still alive. The answer is, though, that Shibuya, if it was taken by armed bandits, yeah, it's going to be much harder to get it back. Mitrach Vatsuya is more reasonable for the Ganav, for the Veda, So you can't learn it like that. No. Ela kiho detanya. Rather, we have to learn it as follows, based on what it says in the following verse. When the Pasuk says, v'nishbarei meis, the Pasuk says, by the shoyl, if the animal is broken or dies, ain't the other shvuro mesa. So the Pasuk is only telling us shvuro mesa. Gneva v'aveda minayin. How do we know that he's chayef for gneva v'aveda? Amarta kavachomer. You can make a kavachomer as follows. Umashe mesachar shepotter v'shvuro mesa chayef gneva v'aveda. Madach Hashem mesachar, who is potter from shvuro mesa, and yet he's chayef in gneva v'aveda, meaning he does not have the ability to say, it's still alive somewhere out there, go look for it. So how much more so a shoyel who is chayev even for oinus, how much more so that he doesn't have the ability to say go look for it? He has to pay.
And we inferred before from the secher to the shoyel.
No, before we were trying within the shoyel itself, that if he's chayev for one, he's chayev for the other.
Right.
But we said maybe not. Now we're learning from the shoyel itself.
Right, to the
shoyel. The zehu kavachomer she'ein olav truma. And continues the braisa, this is an unassailable kavachomer. This is a kavachomer that cannot be shlugged up. Now, by having to say that implies that you would think there is some way of schlugging it up, and therefore we have to be told that there isn't. So the question is, my anal of truva. No, the question is, my anal of truva. What is this potential objection to this kavachomer that you could have brought, which therefore the braisa is letting you know that objection, forget about it, it's not going to work. That is as follows. For chitema, because you might say like this, ikul mifrach, you could schlug up this kavachomer as follows. Before we were talking about the case of a shem esacher, is there ever a case we have to pay kafel? We were saying that no, but actually I misspoke there. That was when he claimed ganav. When he claims tainas gneva, he never has to pay kafel because as soon as he says gneva, we make him pay up. There's no case where he's going to have to swear. However, a shem esacher is potter on an oinus that is listed in mizuyan. And if we assume, as we're going to, the usual kind of thing. Again, if he claims listen mizuyon, then we will make him swear on it. If it turns out that he swore falsely, now it really depends on the question, which we have dealt with a number of times in Rava Kama as well as in Ar Masechta. What is a listen mizuyon considered? Now we know there's a ganav where he doesn't show his face at all. He just like breaks in when you're not there or whatever and steals the animal or what have you. You have the opposite, and we know he's chayav kafel. We know, on the other hand, there's a gazlan, the one who has no fear of people. He stands there on the highway and robs people as they go along. He, we know, is only ever chayav kev. What about listin mizuyan? A listin mizuyan is sort of halfway in between there. On the other hand, he shows himself to you. He holds you up at gunpoint or whatever. On the other hand, he normally hides from people. He hides out in the bushes or whatever and jumps out when he sees a likely victim and then shows himself to him and steals from him. Is he considered, for purposes of kafel, is he considered a ganav or a gazlan?
A listin mizuyan
is
not like a gazlan.
So a real God, a classic God one, a classic God one is the kind, he doesn't bother with ambushes, he doesn't bother with nothing. He stands there on the road, and as soon as you go by, he's going to grab something from you.
But how
he has no fear.
Work? I mean, don't you see him and turn around?
And if you don't have a way to turn around, whatever. He doesn't hide out. He goes, runs after people, whatever. He doesn't hide out.
He just runs around the city stealing things from people. Like Asaph or Ishmael.
Yeah, whatever. So that's classic God. And he is never high of capable. He is never high of capable. He's never high of Shlomi Abba Hamisha. Well, so we learned this. We learned in Bava Kamma the difference is the Gazlan has no fear of people or Hashem.
Right.
The Ganav has fear of people but not of Hashem.
And that's why
the Ganav ends up having to pay more for the fact of his chutzpah that he thinks he can hide from Hashem but he's afraid of people. Anyway.
And the other one is not afraid of anybody.
At least if he's not afraid of anybody, there's a chance that one day he's going to wake up and realize, you know what, I got a chance. The Ganav, not necessarily, as long as I can be safe from people. And so Hashem is watching, big deal. Okay, anyway.
It's worse to spite Hashem only.
Yeah.
If you're spiting everyone,
spiting
Hashem.
No, it's the famous thing. Rabbi Yosef Menzakeh said to his Talmidim right before he passed away that the halavai, you should have as much fear for the Eibishter as you have fear for people. Because at least a normal person has fear of society, and therefore that prevents them from doing the wrong thing. Halavai, a person should at least have that kind of...
So a Gavin never pays capel.
So what is a list in Mizuya? That's what we have to figure out. If we say that a list in Mizuya is a Ganav, then... we could say a Shemesh Sacher has a case where he could pay Tashlomei Kefil. Namely, if he claimed that he was held up by a list in Mizuyan, and if it was true and we catch that list in Mizuyan, he will pay Kefil. Therefore, if it turns out that it was false, the Shemesh Sacher is going to be the one paying Kefil. Ma'al Shemesh Sacher shekein Meshalom Tashlomei Kefil b'turn tainas list in Mizuyan. So therefore, you could argue, maybe, once we find that Chumrah in a Shemesh Sacher over a Shoyl, you could argue, you could slog up that Kavach Omer and say by the same logic, maybe therefore the Shemesh Sacher is higher for Gneva Aveda, but a Shoyl is not.
Right.
The reason why we say that ain't all of Tshuva, the reason why the Braisa informed us, that's not a valid Pircha, is because Afilu Hachi, nevertheless, as we said before, counted a Shoyl Adifa. The fact that the Shoyl is always going to have to pay Karen is a more serious thing than the fact that a Shemesh Sacher may have a situation where you have to pay kefil by swearing falsely and then aid him coming, etc.
Right, we have.
Yes. Ibo or another possibility, Kasavar, it could be that the Braisa holds list of Mizuyan Gazlan. Could be the Braisa holds that a list of Mizuyan has the din of a Gazlan because he shows his face to you as opposed to a Ganav who does not. Therefore, according to that way of looking at it, a list of Mizuyan is never going to pay kefil either. Well, like a Gazlan. In that case, if a Shemesh Sacher claims he was held up by a list in Mizuyan, and it turns out it was false, he still will only be paying Keren, just like the actual Gazlan, just like the actual list in Mizuyan himself would only be paying Keren. Therefore, you don't have anything to break the Kavach Omer, because there's never a case where a Shemesh Sacher would have to be paying capel.
It's interesting that the taich of a Gazlan is someone who will never ambush, because I don't think of any criminal that would do that.
Okay.
Every criminal...
We learned in Bava Kamma that the definition of a Gazlan can be inferred from a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, where we have a case over there about one of David's top men in his army, Benayob and Yayadet, that he grabbed the spear from a Mitzri who was fighting with him and killed the guy with the spear.
That's
so we see that Vayigzel means actually grabbing something from the person in front of him, in the open.
Yeah, right.
What does it say, pasuk?
That's a pasuk in Shmuel Bay.
Which says... But,
he kind of
have like an ambush there because he doesn't know you're going to grab it until you get over.
Yeah, but at least you're there. Or you're fighting with him in the open to begin with. Okay, anyway.
Yeah,
all right, anyway. Onward. Okay.
Oh, so it's like in the middle of a war.
Yeah. Okay. Ashkechem Lachiyu. Fine. Then we find that a Gnev... Okay, so now we've dealt with all the basic... Now we've dealt with all the basic dinim of the Shoyrin without reference to Ba'al of Iman. Now we're going to start getting... We were saying there's two ways of looking at it. According to this way of looking at it, it doesn't have to be that way. I think the halacha is that a list of Mizuyan is considered a Ganav, but I don't remember that for sure.
Don't we say the halacha is like the last case in general?
No, this isn't the last case. This is the one but I think.
The way of Pircha that didn't work.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so now we're going to get back to the concept of Ba'al of Imoy, which was the topic of our mission. So, Ashkechem Lachiyuv. We found a way of learning that a Shoyl is potter, is chayav for Gneva Aveda if ain't Ba'al of Imoy. L'ptur Menolon. How do we know that he's also potter if Ba'al of Imoy? The pasuk only says that by a shoyl. It only says v'chiyu shalish meimeru v'nishbar aimes, but all of ein imay shalom yishalom. All of imay lo yishalom. So it only says that he's potter if for all of imay only in cases of einsim, only in the case of shvura or mesa. How do we know the same thing applies about the name of aveda? Which especially aveda we said before is kodav l'pshia. How do we know that? The chitaman. So again, you might argue that you can learn it from Shvura or Mesa. If he's Potter on Shvura or Mesa, if all of him, then he should also be Potter on Gneva Aveda. Problem is, Mother Shvura or Mesa Shkain Onus. Those things aren't Onus. You should argue there's more of a reason to Potter him for those things. Ella Goma Mashem Asaka. No, rather, we will learn it from Hashem Asaka. Hey, Hashem Asaka, Gufa Minolan. Fine, how do we know by Hashem Asaka that he's Potter if all of him, right? The pasuk only mentions Baal of Ima by a shoyl. Where do we know it applies to the other shoylim as well?
Right.
That is gamri chiyuva de shem asachar mi chiyuva de shoyl. Because we can learn the cases when a shem asachar is chayav from the cases when a shoyl is chayav. How we learn that we'll talk about in a second. We learn the cases where the shem asachar is chayav from the cases where the shoyl is chayav. And then we'll learn. The cases where the shoyl is potter from the cases where the shem asachar is potter. We'll go back and forth. So, we'll see.
So we learn first the shem. Wait.
So ma lahalim the bailim potter. Just like in the case of the shoyl, certain things that happen, at least the ones that are listed in the pasuk, the nishbar emes, the oinsin, if the bowl of imoy is potter, hafkan b'bailim potter, the same thing, by Hashem Asachar, whichever things it is that he would otherwise be chayav for, he is potter if bailim imoy. Okay, the question first is, b'may goma, how are we learning that out of that? E b'mamotzinu, are you just learning it using a mamotzinu, a binyan av, that once it says by a shoyl that ba'ol of imer lo yishalim, then we apply that to the other shoyman, and we apply it to Hashem Asachar. The problem is, ikla mifrach kidibachachin, shkein oynes. You can shlug it up like we just did. Shvura umesa are an oynes, gneiv v'aveda are not. So maybe you should argue that no, not only by a shoyl, even by Hashem Asachar. Fine, by a shoyl, he's potter by shvura umesa if ba'ol of imer, because the pasuk says so. But not necessarily to say that the name of Aveda, which are much less of an onus, and in fact the Shem HaSachar is higher for them, to say that he should be potter of Baal of Imai, where are you getting that from? Ela, no, you do it like this. Not from Mamotzinu, but Omakra V'chi Yishal. The Pasuk starts off the part of the Shoyl by saying, and if he borrows. Therefore, Vav Moisif Al Inyan Rishin, the Vav comes to add to what came first. The Yalamet Elyon Mitachten, meaning that we can derive what's going on in the earlier section, the part about the Shem HaSachar, from what's going on in the later section. In other words, when the Torah says like this, V'chi Yishal, the implication is, you have so far the dinim of the Shem HaSachar. And now, in addition, let's talk about the dinim of the Shoyl. Meaning, whatever dinim applied to the Shem HaSachar, or certain dinim that apply to him, also apply to the Shoyl.
From the Vav.
And therefore, once we have, therefore, that, a Shem HaSachar is going to be Chayef for Gnei V'Aveda, and we also know, therefore, that Tarsus points out, in that case, we don't need the Kal V'Chomer we used before, that we know from that Vav also that the din of Gnei V'Aveda also applies equally well to a Shomer. Well, since the Pasuk is telling us that a Shoyl is Potter if Baal of Imai, right? Then there you go. Then it means he's Potter on Baal of Imai, right? For all four things. Gnei V'Aveda, Nishvar and Nishvar. Five, actually, because Nishvar as well, yeah. Okay, the problem is, V'Akati Shoyl M'Shem Asachar Loi Gomar. Still, How can you learn out a shoyl from a Shem HaSachar? How can you learn it? The Ikla Mifrach, you could still shlug that up. Fine. So in other words, you can say like this. Fine. A hekish you can't shlug up. That's fine. It's a given that you can't shlug up a hekish. But you still can shlug it up as follows. Mal Hashem HaSachar shekein potter b'shvura u'meisa. How can you compare Hashem HaSachar as zach potter for einzin? Choma b'shoyol shechayev b'shvura u'meisa. How can you compare that to a shoyol who's higher for those two things? So even if you have the vav, which makes a hekish, fine. You can make the hekish, maybe you can say that's fine. You can use it to learn that you can use it to learn the dinim of Gnei V'Aveda. How can you use it to say that the same thing should apply by shvuro mesa, which are oinsin, where the Shem HaSachar would be potter for them already, whether Baal of Imai or not, and the shoyl is going to be higher for them, and you want to potter him with Baal of Imai? How can you say that it goes the other way? Ela, no. So no, how do we know then that a shoyl is chayav? So let's undo. Forget about the kavah chomer that we said before. How we know a shoyl is chayav on gnei v'aveda. Forget about the vav. Rather, we're going to say like this: elam gnei v'aveda b'shoyl chayuvim inolon gugamer m'shem asachar. No, so not we're going to forget about it. If we say forget about the vav because we can't use the vav for that, the vav, the hekesh, because we're saying that still, fine, that doesn't tell us anything about the comparison to Shavuya or Mesa. We see they're very different as far as Shavuya or Mesa, because one is Chayav, one is Potter. So maybe you should argue they're different by Gnev Aveda as well. Are you going to try to learn it from a Kavach Chomer? Problem with that is, that is the Gomer Meshem HaSachar. The problem is Dayoi, Levom and Adin, Lias Kinodin. We have the famous thing of Dayoi, which modifies a Kavach Chomer. You can't make what you're learning from a Kavach, via a Kavach Chomer, stronger than the thing you're learning from. Mag neiv avedu to shem esachah b'bayvah poster. We'll say like this. No, so that's it. This is the answer. Rather, how do we know it is because we're going to apply that kavachomer, but we're also going to apply dayan. Mag neiv avedu to shem esachah b'bayvah poster. Just as neiv avedu of a shem esachah is going to be poster b'bayvah, based on the vav, based on yilamid elyon b'tachton that we're learning. The earlier one from the later one, because the later one does say that the Bailam is Potter. So also, when it comes to Gnev Aveda by a Shoyal, we'll use this Dayo to say it can't be any stronger. We can't say that Gnev Aveda should be Potter by the Shema Sacher if Baal of Imoi, but it should be Chayev by the Shoyal. That would violate the concept of Dayo. Therefore, we must say it's potter. It has to be even. So, if you're going to say that it happens by a shem asachar, it must also happen by a shoyl. If you're going to be learning a shoyl from a kavach chomer,
you learn negatively for both. Do you learn positively for both, but not one negative in one positive?
Right. Okay. The problem is hamicha l'man de'isle daya. Fine. That works according to the opinion in Bava Kama that holds the concept of daya. But yes, el l'man de'isle daya. But according to the Ptarfin, who does not hold a daya,
which he holds,
my iklamem,
you can learn more from this.
Yeah, now to be exact, actually, Tosfa says, even Reb Taufan, the Gemara explains it, even Reb Taufan agrees that you do use Daya where it's not going to destroy the whole Kavach Chomer. If you apply Kavach Chomer and you apply Daya, you're not left with any Kavach Chomer at all, then he says you don't do it. But if you can use Daya and you still have the Kavach Chomer teaching you something valid, then even he will agree to it. The Tosfa says,
in this case,
it would, because
in some cases, you have a Kavach Chomer.
You can
and you learn nothing if you don't extend.
Exactly. Because you would know it even without the Kavach Chomer. Exactly.
Because whatever you know.
Because, yeah.
So there...
They are the Tarfon hold, you don't say dire.
You can extend according to Rabbi Tarfon, and you cannot according to everyone else.
Right.
But
here, if you use your Kavach Chomer and say that on the basis of this Kavach Chomer, you're going to say that...
You do learn something here.
That's the point. Even without dire. If you were to say, for example, on the basis of this Kavach Chomer, you would say like this: a Shema Socher is Potter from Gnei V'Aveda. A Shema Socher is Chayev on Gnei V'Aveda is Potter from Einzim. How much more so than a Shoyal who's Chayev on Einzim is going to be Chayev on Gnei V'Aveda?
Let's do it again.
Okay, the Kavach Chomer went as follows: Madach a Shema Socher who is Potter from Einzim is Chayev on Gnei V'Aveda.
Shema Socher. I'm paying.
If you're being paid to watch the thing, you chayiv if the thing gets lost or stolen. You potter if an oinus happens there.
Yeah.
A shoyl who is chayiv in oinsin, how much more so he's chayiv gnev v'aveda. That was the kavach chomer we said.
Yeah.
Now, if we then apply dayo, what would we say that? With Daya, we would say, well, Shema Sachar, even though normally he's Chayav in Gnei V'Aveda, is going to be Potter if Baal of Imoi, based on the Hekesh. Therefore, the same thing must apply by a Shoyal as well. And if we don't apply Daya, we've still learned that a Shoyal is Chayav in Gnei V'Aveda, which otherwise we didn't know.
And that's good enough.
Now, so Tosfa says, the vote is like this, it's not really that appointed a Tarfin. The Gemara initially there in Bava Kama in that sugya about Daya initially entertains the idea that Reb Taufan never holds of Daya at all. And then it says it can't be because of the pasuk that teaches us the concept of Daya, the story of Miriam over there.
So he has to hold of it to some extent.
Or Gemara, when it says L'man D'Lesle, Daya does not mean Reb Taufan actually, it means the Gemara's initial assumption of what Reb Taufan holds.
So
According to that Manda Amma, my equal amendment, then how would you learn? How would he think to learn Amma? It's the Gemara. Tosa said that.
That's just a Hava Mina, though.
Fine, but even a Hava Mina has to have a basis.
Okay.
Ella, no, it's like this. Amma Krav Vechi Yishal. No, again, let's go back to the Vav of Vechi Yishal. Vav Moshe Balanin Rishin. And the Yalamid Elyon, Mitachtin Me'elyon. We will make the Hekish in both directions. We will say that we'll learn the fact that we'll learn the chiyuv of a shayma sachar from the chiyuv of a shayl, and we will learn the patur of one from the we'll learn the chiyuv of the shayl from the chiyuv of the shayma sachar. Just as a shayma sachar is chayv and gneiv aveda, so is the shayl. We will also learn in the other direction. Just as a shayl is potter for ball of imay for anything, because once we brought in
the
gneiv aveda as well.
And the chiyuv from the shayma sachar to the shayl.
Yes. Well, first, no, we're going to do it in the other direction. First, we're going to do the chiyuv from the shayma sachar to the shayl, teaching us therefore that he's chayav, if not for all of imay, he's chayav for gneiv aveda,
right,
which otherwise the pasuk didn't specify for us. Again, it means we don't need the kavah
first.
Now that we have that, it means all the chiyuvim of it means all things that happen to the animal by the shayl are on an equal level. Gneva, aveda, shvura, shvuya, mesa. Once we have all those five are chayav, and the Torah specifies by some of them that he's potter for all of imay, then it means it's all of them by the shayl,
right,
and therefore we can learn back from that
to
the shayl sacher that whichever ones he would otherwise be chayav for, namely by him,
it's only two.
Then those are the ones.
And that's all. If you pay daya in the havamina,
even if you don't hold a daya, you can still make it work. Yes.
Yeah, but no one really doesn't hold.
No one really holds that thing.
But just in case you wanted to know, we're going to tell you.
Yeah. Okay.
So now the havamina is an even better question.
That's the point. Therefore, the Gemara didn't bring in this concept over there because that manda omer, that havamina had a way of explaining itself.
And it was corrected eventually.
And we say that he has a way of running this.
The
initial assumption of what Rav Chaim said.
Usually the Gemara doesn't get carried away by a
Hava. Okay, we have another discussion like this.
So the conclusion so far is,
basically what we said in the previous Mishnah. A Shema Chinam is potter for everything. He swears anything that happens to the animal, he swears and he's potter. Now we derive it from the Pesukim. And we also just derive the concept that She'ela B'Bailim, that Baal of Emay, potters you from anything that you would have normally been chayav for. Which brings us to the next question. Itmar, P'shia B'Bailim. What happens if you were P'shia with the object while the owner was there?
Before we talk about,
for example, Gneva Aveda or Oynes or whatever, which are not Pshia. Now we're talking about what if you were actually careless with the animal, but the owner was you had borrowed the owner's services or rent or hired him. So Pligi Bar Rav Acha V'Rabina. Rav Acha V'Rabina argue on that. Chadam Chayev v'Chadam Potter. One says you Chayev because the Torah is not exempting you from the case of Pshia. Throughout Shas, the Gemara mentions in a couple of places that usually throughout Shas, in a machlokes between Rav Acha and Ravina, if I remember correctly, it's usually Rav Acha is the one who's meikel and the halacha is like him, except in three places where Ravina is the one who's meikel and the halacha is like him. The halacha is always the cooler between the two of them.
In most of the cases, Acha is.
If I remember correctly, in most cases, Rav Acha is the one who's meikel. Anyway, the point is the halacha is like the one who's meikel between the two of them. So. So therefore, on that basis, the Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Hananel that yes, the halacha must indeed be like the one who says potter over here, because he's the one who's making. Mando amachayev, the one who says he's chayev is like this. Pasaber, he figures like this. Nikra nidrash lefonav v'loy lefnei ponav. You can darshin a pasuk going to refer back to the previous pasuk, but not to pasukim earlier than that. Namely as follows. Again, we just finished, not really an individual pasuk, but a section. Again, the pasuk that introduces the concept of shoyl begins with a vav. We just said vav moisav alin in rishon. The parsha of shema sachar does not. The parsha of shema sachar does not begin with a vav. It begins ki yitin isha re'ev. So in other words, there's no... It doesn't have the chi. Right. So the one who says chayav figures like this. Where do we know the concept of pshia from? We learn it in the case of the shema chinim, because there the pasuk uses the words al-kol dvar pesha, which then says he's chayav. So therefore, he says, Mikra nidrush lefonav v'lo lefnei ponav. You can douch in a pasuk to refer back to the previous part, but not earlier than that. unless they were connected to the vav. Hilkach im ba'ol of imay Hashem achinam leksiv. Therefore, the concept of im ba'ol of imay, which is in the third section, cannot refer back to Shia, which was in the first section, cannot refer back to Shem Achinam, which is in the first section. And the only thing Hashem Achinam is going to be chayav for is Pshia. Or Pshia b'Shem Asachar b'Shar Leksiv. And the Torah never mentions the concept of Pshia by Hashem Asachar in the second section, or by Shar in the third section. Hilkach b'Shem Asachar b'Shar Lechiyuv after... So I had it the other way around. Usually Ravina is the one who's Mekel, and the Halacha is like him. In three places, Rav Acha is the one who's Mekel, and Halacha is like him. Okay, thank you.
But it's always like
Mekel. Okay, onward. So what do we have so far? It does not say anything like Pshia by a Shem Asachar or by a Shem. So therefore, we can't say Ba'ol of Imay refers to that, refers to a case of Pshia by that. The only case that mentions Pshia is by a Shem Asachar. That's two sections back, and there's no Vav connecting the Shem Achinam and the Shem Asachar. Therefore, so how do we know b'chalal that Hashem Asachar or Asher l'chayim is their pesheya, that we learn a kavu chaymer, Hashem Achinam is chayim for pshia, how much more so then? Avu b'bailim lifter, after Hashem Asachar or Asher l'loy. But to go so far as to say that if pshia b'bailim, to say that if b'ol of imay, that the Hashem Asachar or the Asher should be potter, if b'ol of imay, if they were pesheya, look, we don't say that. My timer, ki ksiv im ba'ol of imay lo yishalem, asher v'asher mesachar. Ki ksiv im ba'ol of imay lo yishalem, asher v'asher mesachar. Because when does it say this concept of ba'ol of imay lo yishalem is only referring to the shoyl and to the shem mesachar, and it's only referring, ahana chiyuvi d'chtibu v'had yehudu mechtib. It can only be referring to the chiyuvim that it says by them explicitly, or that we learn from the Hekish. It cannot be talking about Pshia, which is something that we don't even know by them, which by them we only know from a Kavachoyim. So you can't say, in other words, Ba'ol of Imay, that it should refer back to something which is not even written by them, and we only know by them by a Kavachoymer, that not.
So we say it applies to Ba'ol of Imay.
So Ba'ol of Imay, according to that, would not apply in a case of Pshia, which is something that we only know by a Shem Asachar and a Shoyl, based on a Kavachoymer, and by a Shem Achinam, it's two parashiyas back, and there's no Vav connect. So that's why the opinion, that's why you have the opinion of the one, Rav Acha b'Pashtus, who says that he's chayav. Mandam of Potter, the opinion, I guess Ravina, who says he's Potter, Kasavim Mikra Nidush Lefonov V'Lefneifonov. He says that no, you can darshan two sections back. Even if there's not an explicit hekesh between them, if the Torah tells us something in the third section, we can refer it back, not only to the second, but also to the first, even without an explicit hekesh. Therefore, the chiksiv in ba'ol of imay, Hashem achinim nami ksiv. So when it says in ba'ol of imay, it can include the Shem achinim as well. So it applies back to him as well. Now let's figure out if we can prove one way or the other from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Tanan, we learned from the Mishnah, Hashor la part of a shawl ba'al le'ahimah, if you borrow a cow and you borrow the owner together with it, Hashor la part of a socha ba'al le'ahimah, or you borrowed the cow and rented, hired the owner with it, or shawl ba'al le'ahimah, socha and v'achak v'shawl la part of a mesa, or he borrowed or hired the owner and then borrowed the cow or mesa and it died potter. Now, the point is, the Mishnah is only mentioning cases of shoyl or soicher, either Shem Achinam like Atani. The Mishnah did not mention a Shem Achinam. Why not? The Pashtus, because, again, the only thing a Shem Achinam can be chayav for is Pshia. And even if he previously hired or borrowed the services of the owner, if he afterwards does Pshia, he's still going to be chayav.
Even within the services?
So that should seem to prove it. My answer is right back. So what? I mean, the mission doesn't mention Shem Asachar either. And obviously, Shem Asachar, there's definitely a case where he's potter for Ba'al of Imay. We just established before, the name of Aveda.
So therefore, you cannot.
So you can't prove. You can say, why doesn't the mission mention Shem Achinam or Shem Asachar? Tana, Milta Dixiva Behedia. The Tana only mentions things that are mentioned explicitly in the Torah, namely the Shoyl, because that the Shoyl is the one by which it says the concept of Ba'al of Imay. To ask Midrash, like Katani, the Mishnah did not bother mentioning cases that we only learned from Midrash. The fact that we learn that Ba'al of Imay applies to Hashem Asachar or according to Ravina, also to Hashem Achinam, we only know that from Midrash. We don't know that explicitly from the Pesukim. So the Mishnah didn't bother telling us that detail. Doesn't mean that it doesn't apply though.
But does it mean we can apply it if you're going to mention it?
That's what we're trying to figure out. That's what we're trying to figure out. We don't have a proof one way or the other from the fact that the Mishnah left out the Shem Achinim, because we see it left out the Shem Asachar as well, and both Rav Acha and Ravina are going to agree that a Shem Asachar has a patur of Balavina. Okay. Tashma. Sha'ol of a Shaw Balavina. Come, let's prove from the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, if you borrowed the animal and borrowed the use, the services of the owner with it, Sachar of a Sachar Balavina, or you rented the animal and hired the owner with it, sha'ol of a sacha ba'al da'ima, or you borrowed the animal and hired the owner with it, sacha of a sha'ol ba'al da'ima, actually there's a braisa, or the other way around, you rented the animal and borrowed for free the services of the owner with it, even if the owner is actually working someplace else, umesa, and the animal dies, potter. Now, the point is that this braisa mentioned not just the cases of our Mishnah, where the cases of our Mishnah was only that you borrowed the cow, and we were talking about, is it that you borrowed or is it that you hired the services of the owner? The braisa is spelling out that also you have the cases where you rented the cow. The same concept, the Balabimah, also applies if you rented the cow. Now, Svaruha. So, for purposes of the question, we thought to say, Hamani Rabbi Hodi, we thought to say that this braisa goes like Rabbi Hodi. Who says, as we've talked about before, that a socher has the basic din of a shemah socher? Thank you. We're in the middle of learning now, so if you want to learn, join us, please. But if not, let's talk later. Okay. If you want to join us for learning, because of the hate, but otherwise we don't have time for talking right now. Okay. So we assume for purposes of the question that this braita goes like Rabbi Huda, da'om a socher k'shem asachar dami, who says that a socher has the same basic chiyuvim as a shem asachar. He's chayiv on gedei v'aveda, he's potter on oinsim. V'ha hai tana katani milta da'afi midrasha. Now, therefore, what do we see? This braita, unlike our Mishnah, is mentioning cases which we only know from midrasha, because again, the concept that by a socher, ba'ol of imo, has certain cases where he's potter, does not explicitly say it in the pasuk. We only learn it from a drasha. The ilu shem echinim like a tani, and yet the braita does not mention the shem echinim. So we see that it's true that a shem echinim maybe has no patur of baal of imai. Because again, what's the only case you could be chayav is pshia, and we would say pshia by baal of chayav. The answer is no, because homani rab meir. You're assuming this braita goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't have to be. Could be according to the mayor. It could be the braisa is like a mayor. Who says, in fact, that a socher has the same basic dinim as a shem achinam? On the contrary, therefore, the braisa is mentioning the concept of baal of imay being the case by a socher, even though, again, a socher, the only thing according to the mayor that he'd be chayav for is pshia, because he's like a shem achinam. And how much more so that a shem asachar would also be potter for all of imai in his respective cases, not only pia but also gnei v'avei. Iboy seimo, or so it could apply. Okay, or iboy seimo, another possibility. You could say k'demachlef rav abayu v'avatani. You could say that. You could say that the braisa maybe indeed does go according to Rabbi Yehuda, but again, like Rav Abba Ravur flips around the opinions, Vatani, and he teaches socher ketzed mishalom, that how does a socher pay? Rav Meir omer k'shem asachar, Rabbi Yehuda omer k'shem achinam. So therefore, the braisa could after all be like Rabbi Yehuda, like you assumed originally. Tosfos asks the question: the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda anyway. Why would we want to say the braisa is like Rabbi Yehuda? So some of the Rishonim explain, it's true, the Gemara, we would prefer to say that Braisa goes a little bit hilchta. Anyway, there are, because usually, unless you have reason otherwise, you should assume that halacha is like a Braisa. We know the halacha is that a Shem HaSachar is like a Braisa. Yeah, so other Rishonim, I think the Rishva and others explain that it's true, the Gemara didn't have to bring it in, but in general, whenever the Gemara brings in this discussion of what the Din of a Sachar is, it always mentions that point that Rav Abba Ravur flips around the opinion. So therefore, the Gemara is sort of bringing it in here as an incidental detail, even though it didn't really need to. Okay. We'll stop over here and continue tomorrow.
So we're behind.
We still are behind. Sorry.